Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
So hard to live on this earth for me sometimes. It's like the earth is round. Man, get this guy out of here. Everyone knows the earth is flat.
We all know that.
But you see the horizon, how you can't see. Man, that's an optical illusion. Wait a minute. See how when we're on top of this mountain, you could see it best. Get out, dumb. Get out of here.
Your face right now coming in from the break is what my face was the entire segment yesterday when I realized that I put 40 players on the New York Knicks.
We're building.
Like, well, you put 40 on the New York Knicks and you added two today.
Who?
He added in Giannis.
Keith's trying to create propaganda. This is lies. It's
not
going to work.
No, it was Embiid and Luka you had going.
Propaganda.
Embiid and Luka you had going to the Knicks.
Nope.
No, yes, you did. Me. That was me.
At the top of the show at 6 o'clock.
That was Max.
That was me.
Get your facts straight, Keith.
It was him.
Lies.
Oh, yeah, you know what? Yeah, sure, it was him.
Lies, and more lies.
Stay off the weed, Key.
You know how you, Max, you don't take any
blame
for anything.
Stay on the weed, Key.
That's right. When you point the finger, the saying is, when you point the finger, don't point the finger because three are pointing back at you, right? But the way I do it is I splay my hand out like this so they all miss me and they hit everyone around me instead when I point the finger. Yeah, I point the finger this way and one hits Jay and one hits camera guy. So since you guys all disagree with my premise that in the NBA...
We're not the only ones.
Where two-thirds of the teams nowadays, but always more than 50% of the teams in the modern era...
They didn't have the play-in back then.
...are playing the play... But even when Steph was unanimous MVP...
But just don't conflate it for our listeners.
I'm not. That's why I'm being detailed and specific about it. When Steph won unanimous MVP, 16 out of 30 teams made the playoffs. So more than 50% of the teams were playing after the regular season.
So what?
And there are multiple rounds of playoffs. Months long, if you win the finals, you played an extra two months. God. So since you guys think that those games are not more important than the regular season, how much pressure do you think it's on Jason Tatum to win the whole thing this year? You just sat there talking about how great the regular season is. He's great in the regular season. Jason Tatum in the finals didn't play so good. I guess it doesn't mean anything to you, Jay.
What are you talking about? Don't we all agree on this, Max? Aren't we on the same page?
So now you want to be friends.
What do you mean now? I've always been your friend. Friends argue. That's
you're
what
like,
brothers do,
you're
damn
like,
it.
You're like Smokey. Man, we got to stick together.
We're on the same team.
All of a sudden, after Smokey smoked it all, had Craig take one puff, then Big Worm's looking for him. Man, come on, Craig, we got to stick together.
It's like both of our bikes. Just keep it at your house.
Listen. Listen. Yeah. Houdini.
Yeah, let's go.
Ones we can't depend on. Let's be friends.
Hey.
So, are we sure, Jay?
Are we sure what?
That Tatum, this is your question. You asked it.
I asked what?
Tatum is Boston's best player, yes
I'm
or no?
I'm not sure about that.
Regular season, he's pretty good. Are you, according
Jason
to you, it's
Tatum,
the only thing that
Jason,
exists.
Let's break this down. Let's go into the details for a second. Jason Tatum, I think his ceiling offensively is higher, slightly higher than Jaylen Brown's. Mm-hmm. Jaylen Brown's defensive ceiling, I think, is higher than Jason Tatum's. Mm. Jaylen Brown is still a prolific scorer. Jason Tatum's a prolific scorer. At the end of the day, it's their team. Now, I know within the franchise and what I've heard from Jaylen Brown over this time, what he said to the public, it feels like he is the second fiddle, right? But at the end of the day, would it shock you if Jaylen Brown, if this team got to the Eastern Conference Finals and Jaylen Brown had a better Eastern Conference Finals than Jason Tatum? Would it shock you if they got to the finals and they won? Jalen Brown was the finals MVP.
What would that do? Would you say that would make Jalen Brown the better player between the two if he were better when it mattered most?
I don't necessarily think it means the better player. I just think it's a reasonable conversation. It depends upon what your style is, Max. What do you like?
I like the guys who shows up in the most important games.
Okay, and who has that been thus far?
Jalen Brown.
Okay. So is that your better player?
I would say that the distance between Tatum and Brown, at least last year in the regular season, was enough that going into this year you would still maybe give Tatum the slight edge, but it is a point well taken that Tatum, because he was not good in the finals last year, and Jaylen Brown was very good in the playoffs. Tatum needs to show up big in these playoffs.
Now, tell him.
So Jay, why is it that
in the playoffs, not in the finals?
So why is it that Celtics are making Jaylen Brown feel as though he's not the number one guy? Why is that? If you say
I think they're making him feel that way to a degree, Key. But obviously, if you had a chance to go get Kevin Durant, like that's I don't know. They've put their stake in the ground on Jason Tatum. It seems like.
But why is that though? Why
I'm not the Boston Celtics. I don't know.
But I'm saying I'm just asking you a playing standpoint with them, if they're not that far apart, and we know Jaylen Brown obviously on the defensive end side, a two-way guy, he's a little stronger than Tatum, although Tatum's got better at it, that the team is looking at is it his beliefs, his personality?
I think a lot of it, Key, has been the way that Jaylen Brown has grown up within the organization, right? I mean, if you remember over the last couple of years, his name has always been looming around in trade rumors, whether they've been accurate or whether they have been.
But is that teams trying to get him, or is that the Celtics trying to move him?
I don't know. It could be a combination of both, right? I'm just trying to tell you, Key, what I feel like I hear whenever I hear Jaylen Brown speak.
Oh, I rock with him.
Right? Like, I rock with him, but it feels to me as if he feels underappreciated there.
So what is it? So Jay, you said I think you said it earlier. I think when you were like, look, Tatum has the higher offensive upside. I think there's something about a player who you look at and you say, that can be the best. I can run my offense through that guy. That guy can be the best offensive player on a championship team.
I think Jaylen Brown can too.
And he's a little taller.
Yeah, but I think Jaylen Brown can too.
Okay, so Jaylen Brown's now making a move. It almost reminds me of Kawhi Leonard, where he was, he's a nice player. And then all of a sudden you started hearing, he's actually the best two-way player at his position in the league. He's actually the best two-way player in the league. He's actually the best player. And, like, you know, Jaylen Brown's maybe trending in that direction.
And that's why we had Wendy on yesterday, and Wendy gave the best point as related to Jaylen Brown. Boston Celtic fans should be rooting for Jaylen Brown to make All-NBA. If he makes All-NBA, he can sign a Supermax deal, which will probably state that he will be in Boston for the next 5 years. If he doesn't make All-NBA, he's probably going to turn down their contract extension because it will give him $100 million less, which will make him an unrestricted free agent, which opens up the door to all the things that you've been hearing him talk about, being in Boston, how he feels like he's being treated. All those things lead to 2024, him being an unrestricted free agent.
So Jay, answer this question for me because I really honestly don't know. You would know. So if he made All-NBA, right, and then the Boston Celtics elected not to give him that extension, could they like, couldn't sign like, trade
he'd be off. I think his contract would stipulate that that's what he has to be offered because of making All-NBA.
But I'm saying, what if they decide not to? They don't want to pay him that, though. Could they sign and trade him?
They could. They chose to. But I don't know, if you're Boston, why would you want to do that?
I mean,
the best duos in the NBA. You're trying everything in your power to keep Jaylen Brown happy.
No, but I'm saying, if you've been trying to trade him, how are you trying to do everything in the power to keep him happy? Because you already tried to
you trade him for Kevin Durant. That's different than just trying to trade him. Right? You're trying to see, and it just wasn't Jaylen Brown. Let's remember, the Nets were asking for a lot more. They're asking for Marcus Smart. They're asking for some picks. It was crazy what they were asking for KD at the time.
And he just got caught in the wash.
Yes.
And being caught in the wash, his feelings got hurt.
So all those rumors leading up to that of trades and things of that sort that led to the three-way call with him and Jason Tatum and Brad Stevens, right?
Hey, man, what you trying to do?
What's up? Tell me what's up, going man? On. Just tell me to my face.
Let me know what's going on, Tatum, because exactly. I know you know him.
So, Jay, is this an issue of now they just got to get it done? Or do they need something else to put them over the top in Boston?
I mean, you need Time Lord to be available. Like, he is your rim protector.
Robert Williams.
Like, he brings such an additional fierceness on the defensive end that adds.
But he's in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, and one of the things from watching a ton of Boston Celtics games this year and hearing from experts that watch their team play every single day, there's sometimes this sense that they check in and check out defensively, where last year it was such a competitive environment about who was the best defender. Was it Marcus Smart? Was it Jason Tatum? Was it Jaylen Brown? Whereas now it doesn't seem as if there's that same ferocity defensively.
Let me ask you this.
But
early,
Jay,
on, early on, they were the dominant team in the NBA, right? They were the dominant team. And now, then recently they hit a bump, right? They're not the dominant team in the NBA anymore.
The Milwaukee Bucks are the best team.
And I understand it even predates them making that trade for Jay Crowder, right? Before the, but how much – I've noticed that this public stuff with Jaylen Brown has occurred since they have been no longer the dominant team in the NBA. How much of it, the fact that it's gone public, is the fact that they fell off a little bit? And or how much is the fact that they fell off a little bit this dynamic between Brown and Tatum, do you think?
You know, the Boston Celtics didn't make Jaylen Brown do the New York Times article. He chose to do that on his own.
Yeah.
So think about that, right? That wasn't because they were loot. That was because how he's feeling.
Yeah, his feelings in the city and things of that nature. Jay, so they've tried Kyrie. They've tried
Key, they don't need to try anything. This is a championship contending team.
Marcus Smart, they tried the other point guard that they let go that they got from the Charlotte.
Kimba Walker.
Kimba. They've tried.
Whether you want to give it to Emmanuel Quickley or Malcolm Brogdon, I think Malcolm Brogdon is more deserving. They have a squad, man.
Yeah, they got Brogdon in the offseason.
I'm saying, do they need – they done tried three or four different type floor generals. Do they need to go get another one?
They don't need anything else, Key.
But
they got to get
Malcolm,
it done.
Malcolm they don't Brogdon, need anything else, but.
No, they have to get it done. That's it. Get it done. Malcolm Brogdon is not a guy that should be coming off the bench. He is a bona fide NBA starter in this league. He's chosen to accept that role, which is why I think he's probably between him and Quickley going to win Sixth Man of the Year.
Let me give you an example of someone, and you tell me if this makes you change your mind or it's something else we're talking about. Let's say instead of Marcus Smart, the heart and soul and all that, the leader, and Brogdon, right?
Yeah, Derek White.
Let's say instead of that, they had made a deal for Drew Holiday. Are they the champions this year?
Yes.
So that points out, just because you have all the pieces, check, 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 doesn't mean that all the pieces are operating on a high enough level to win the whole thing, right? If you're saying
so they
Drew
do
Holiday,
need a floor general.
Yeah. Or a better floor general.
Well, that's what Malcolm Brogdon is supposed to be. Malcolm Brogdon, like that was, those were the questions last year around Marcus Smart. He's great defensively. He sometimes has incredible confidence, maybe overly confident, right, to try to score the rock. But it was more so time and situation, understanding how to set people up. That's why they made the addition of Malcolm Brogdon. That's why everybody thought, wow, that's an incredible pickup. Because now he's like, hey, slow down.
Efficient.
Let me get you to touch here where you want the ball the most. Hey, let's actually get a set where we can get Jaylen Brown on the block. He is that addition for this team. That's why I don't think there's any more excuses.
But Drew Holiday is them two combined.
Yes.
He's like in one guy. That's what I mean. Sometimes that premium piece, you can't split it into two. You need that premium piece to put you over the top. But I think what you're saying, it seems to me, is, yes, that would make them better. It would give them a better opportunity, but they're good enough now to get it done. They just have to get it done.
I mean, with the exception of their latest slide, they've been the best team in the NBA most of the season.
Tatum's
right? Got
to show up in the finals. He's got.
They and they lost to the Wizards last night.
Even though no one else on this show thinks the playoffs are important, I think the playoffs are important. Everyone says, and on this show, everyone believes that at the end of the regular season, that's the champion. That's according to your guys' MVP.
Lies, 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 and more lies.
Tune into NBA action tonight as the Nuggets
will never go down and hit.
As the Nuggets host the Pelicans, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on select ESPN radio stations. Is Richard Sherman blaming Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen for Lamar Jackson's contract situation? KJM.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Lamar's a heck of a talent, but man, we got a quarterback.
Everyone knows Lamar's skill set. Lamar's a stud. I'm sure they'll work it out there.
Time for us to get under the cap. He makes a lot of money, but he's a heck of a player.
Listening to the statements that were made, I was frustrated for him.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
Kiss to the mwah.
Yo, Jada is so nice, it's ridiculous.
Fresh, man. It's come ridiculous. On, Jada. Come on the show, man.
Lox was just, I mean, bring whoever you want. On, the best man. You're going to do is tie him. You're not going to beat him. Man. KJM, ESPN Radio. You know, it's opening day in baseball. Today, Yankees start at 1:05 p.m. I can't wait.
Who are you guys playing?
It's weird. We're playing the Giants. Interleague game to start the season. But but I'm reminded of 1987, going all the way back, right? Andre Dawson, five-tool monster, the Hawk. Come on, Key, he was so good, and he's hitting free agency. He's going to leave the Expos. No one would pay him. Highest paid dude at the time was probably it was someone like Ricky Henderson or someone Mike Schmidt, someone like that. They were making about $3 million a year, as memory serves. So Andre Dawson's going to slide in there somewhere. Maybe a little under, maybe not. He won't reset them, or it'd be right over $2.5 million. Couldn't find a deal. Finally, he told the Cubs, just give me whatever you're going to give me. They gave him $500,000, one-sixth of the top of the market. And he hit 49 home runs and won MVP on a last-place team that year. He was so good. And that was the year McGuire broke in, right, and hit 49 home runs also. But Dawson won MVP in the NL. So years, it was proven that the owners had colluded in Major League Baseball. They owed the players hundreds of millions of dollars. And the Andre Dawson example really hurt him. It's like, wait, why did this guy get one-sixth of the market? What happened there? Collusion's hard to prove. But I do know that Lamar Jackson hit the open market, or hit the market. Key, you may disagree that he's actually on the market. Man, Deshaun Watson got $230 fully guaranteed. Crickets. Crickets about Lamar Jackson at the age of 26. Richard Sherman is blaming Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen for Lamar's contract. Is it a saga at this point? Here's Richard Sherman, who graduated some cum laude. It was summa or magna or regular magna, plain old cum laude. I don't know what it was. Something. But it was loudy. It was loudy from Stanford and then had a Hall of Fame NFL career, right?
Stanford.
Yo, Richard Sherman's one of those
high
dudes.
High school in Compton.
If I were Richard Sherman, if I went from Compton to cum laude, whatever, summa cum laude, from Stanford and had a Hall of Fame NFL career, you couldn't even look directly at me. You wouldn't be able to even say, don't even talk to me. And it goes for everyone.
I feel like he graduated in the top five in the class. That's, somewhere
any
near,
one
like,
of those.
Three or four.
Either that at Stanford or the NFL career, but both combined, man, don't even talk to me. But you messed up over here. Look at the resume, please. Please walk away. Richard Sherman said on the Richard Sherman podcast, he seemed to me to be blaming Mahomes and Josh Allen for Lamar's predicament. Listen to this.
What pissed me off is when Kirk Cousins got his fully guaranteed deal a couple years ago, I thought all the quarterbacks from then on were going to be like, hey, if it ain't guaranteed, I ain't taking it. Then Mahomes took that BS deal just 10 years and wanted to look like $500,000. Like, but if you get a half of that fully guaranteed, everybody's happier. Everybody goes, that sets precedent. But when he didn't set it, then Josh Allen didn't set it. Now Lamar's trying to set it after Deshaun's already set it. And they're like, nah, we ain't letting that go.
So it sounds to me like, you know, he's pointing to other players and saying the reason Lamar ain't going to get fully guaranteed is because too many guys after Kirk Cousins' deal didn't insist on fully guaranteed. Key, maybe it's part of that, but I also think just the number 230 for Deshaun Watson was a big number to fully guarantee.
It's a bunch of stuff. So pay attention, Pat Costello, because I'm going to try to explain this so we all have an understanding. When you talk about Kirk Cousins' deal, Kirk Cousins' deal was a short-term deal. It was short. It was only 3 years, I think, of fully guaranteed money, fully guaranteed on those 3 years. Typically, historically, deals are longer because they're front-loaded with the guaranteed money, and they need to be able to spread them out in year 4, 5, 6, 7 from salary cap purposes to give them some salary cap relief on the back end of the deals. I totally understand what Richard Sherman is saying. But on the $500 million deal, 10-year deal that Patrick Mahomes signed, he got about $150 million of that in the first 3 years. He then could come back if he plays the way he's been playing and get another $200 million over the next 3 years, which he'll probably wind up doing by this summer. Then when you look at the other quarterbacks, for instance, Josh Allen's deal is heavily front-loaded. Those years, if Josh Allen's no good 3 years from now, he ain't going to be on the Bills anyway. When you look at guys that had the power, in my opinion, to really change the landscape of the guaranteed money like a Deshaun Watson, look no further than Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson had the Denver Broncos by the you-know-whats. When they made the trade for Russell Wilson, pay attention now, Pat, they gave up a lot to go get him. So they put themselves in a position. They didn't do a pre-draft deal at all whatsoever. And now when you say a pre-trade deal whatsoever, now when you sit there and you say to yourself, pay attention, Pat, Russell Wilson could have went to them and got any amount of money fully guaranteed he wanted to, because they had to sign him based on them trading everything away to bring him into Denver. Russell Wilson is the one that missed the mark on the fully guaranteed contracts for quarterbacks. Don't put me on the clock. I need to explain to you because you didn't understand the first time I was trying to explain.
Go ahead, Key. Keep going.
No, I'm done. I just wanted Pat to get that.
Pat, do you understand it now?
I think Pat fell asleep.
Good morning, fellas. What's up? Did I miss anything?
Pat, don't if you keep me. This up, you're going to be on desk duty. They're going to take you off the beat.
No, I ain't not desk duty.
All right, great. Someone's making money, I think. I don't know.
Tickets.
A lot of money.
Writing
great.
Tickets. You're going to be writing tickets.
He's going to be writing tickets. He wants to be on Homicide. He's going to be writing tickets pretty soon.
Way to break that down, Key. I heard you.
Well, I know you heard me. And Max heard me. I don't really care if Pat heard me or not. I don't need him in my ear complaining.
All right. What did you get from all that, Pat Costello?
I heard someone made $500 million at one point, and that's about it. And something about Kirk Cousins, maybe? Was he involved? I don't know.
What's typical.
Pat did not graduate summa cum laude from Stanford.
But he's a typical sports listener, right? That's what the callers, they be listening, right? Jay, ain't that what you say? They hear what they want to hear.
They hear what they want to hear.
Yeah. So I said all that. All he heard was $500 million.
Kirk Cousins and $500 million.
Thank you, and then what he'll do, and then what he'll do is he'll tweet at you.
Oh, this guy's an idiot talking.
Yeah, this
Kirk
guy's
Cousins.
An idiot.
He talking $500 million.
No, he'll say, how can you compare Kirk Cousins to Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, that's the only thing he'll get out of it. Is you said Kirk Cousins is better than Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, that's what he got out of it.
So what you're saying is Kirk Cousins deserved more money than Lamar. Got it.
What? Oh,
so, Key, the thesis is Kirk Cousins is better than Lamar Jackson. That's
got
what you're
it.
Trying to tell us.
Got all right. Got
we're
it.
Building.
And he's going to be on the Knicks.
Keyshawn Johnson. Can Aaron Judge start, like, you know, what's it going to take for people to say, yep, that's a $360 million player? He going to hit 63 home runs this year? Like, what's he going to do? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, opening day coming up, KJM.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
It starts as a kid. The love. Passion, the dream of making it to the big leagues. You grow up watching your heroes, only to become one yourself.
There it goes! See ya! Oh my, put it to orbit! My oh my!
And every year, you never forget that feeling.
This place is rocking.
A swing and a drive!
And it is gone!
The feeling of opening day.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, opening day, Major League Baseball. Doug Glanville, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, with us now. Good morning, Doug.
Yeah, good morning.
What's up, Doug? So, we're going to get into everything. Like, let's start with the pitch clock rules. I like it. Jay likes it. Key, and like, you know, the world has changed. Like, do I like baseball in the 80s the best?
Don't
sure.
Try to
we're not in the
like
1980s.
I'm 90
anymore,
years
right?
old.
The pitch clock has shaved about a half an hour off the time of games in spring, you know, in spring training. What do you think about the pitch clock rules?
Yeah, cause like, I'm sold. I mean, I think just like any old head initially, it was like, well, I don't know. This is, you know, antithetical, right, to the sense of the game. You're going. Putting a clock on something that's never had a timer on it. But it just got to the point where there's so much dead time, and it was useless dead time, you know, fixing gloves, you know, pitchers circling the mound. And I think it crystallized that when you watched games in spring training, just to see how crisp it was and just how quickly the players were like, okay, I'm buying into this. I mean, they had a chance to, you know, 30 minutes, all of a sudden you're shaving off 30 minutes of the game. The game's got rhythm, it's got tempo, and things are moving. So, I mean, it's very clear that there's a direct relationship to the adding that clock to just what they were trying to solve.
Yeah, one of my problems with it, Dougie, is if I get up and I'm behind third base and I'm down and I got to walk up to the restroom and stop and get a beer and get a dog, I come back in the past, you would still be at the plate. I might walk up and be in line and they, you know, all of a sudden you're out. I'm like, but what happened? He didn't fight the pitcher off? Like, nah, the clock got him. I'm like, that's the only reason why I don't like it. I don't want to see something like that happen in a crucial situation.
Yeah, well, and that's why they were so extreme in spring training. The umpires enforced it to the point where, you know, guys initially were a little upset or, you know, it was out of their element. But that was the point of just getting the rhythm. But to your point, it's so much more than just the players. The fans have to get used to a little different rhythm. You know, guys are three pitch outs in 9 seconds or something. You have that challenge. You also have, as an announcer, I'm going to call the game. And, I, you know, you can't wax into all these stories where, oh, all right, the pitcher's circling the mound. He's talking to the birds. Now I got like 30 seconds to talk. So, you know, this dead time used to be filled with more storytelling. So you just have to be crisp and read the room better. And fans in some ways that are now in these – stadiums that are more full family entertainment where you kind of walk off and have all this time, you might think a little differently when Shohei Ohtani is pitching against Mike Trout, for example.
Doug, give me some inside baseball here from a former player perspective. What kind of gamesmanship now occurs between pitchers and batters?
Well, there's a few, and it's going to depend a lot on, is there somebody on base? You know, that's going to be an element that, you know, all of a sudden you can only throw over twice, and if you try to throw over a third time, you have to pick him off, or he goes to second. It's a balk. So now, whether you have 20 seconds with a runner on base, 15 without, with 15 without, you saw pitchers like Max Scherzer hold the ball a little bit, play with the clock. You still play within that time if you get right on the mound. So are they going to quick pitch? All these elements. Now, the catcher, for example, who could come out of his crouch and set the defense or do something, that clock might still be ticking. So I think teams have not shown their whole hand on some of the new rules in spring training, whether shifting. They're going to be like, all right, let's just see what we're going to break out. So I think you'll see a lot more sort of leveraging these new rules as the season kicks in. But with the scouting, you know, there won't be an advantage for long, even if you're trying to hold your hand.
So we were talking to Doug Glanville, ESPN MLB analyst. It's opening day in Major League Baseball, of course. We were talking about one of the few things I actually care about in this world, and that's the New York Yankees as it relates to Aaron Judge, $360 million man, just had one of Major League Baseball's greatest ever seasons. You know, the shift rules maybe helps him, right? Like, what kind of follow-up season do you anticipate from Judge?
Yeah, I see him just staying at that level. I mean, he's just
at a
gotten,
60 home run level.
Well, you know, numbers is hard to say, but his approach is, it's like process versus results. He found a way to be consistent, and part of his consistency was literally just staying on the field, just being healthy for a whole season. But you know, his swing mechanics, the fact that he didn't miss his pitch when he got it. I mean, we talked to Alex Cora of the Red Sox all during the season. He's like, you know, if you make a mistake at all in his zone, it's gone. It's extra bases. And he had that kind of season. It's very hard to repeat that. But when you look at his approach, you know, not much has changed. You know, he's still in a great position to hit. And this is a guy that's a tall, big guy that has a lot of levers that he's got to time up. That was what was so incredible about last season, to be able to do that and do it consistently. And when he wasn't hitting or hitting home runs, he was still taking his walks. He was still working the ball the other way. He was still moving runners. I mean, it was just a phenomenal all-around season.
Doug Glanville, ESPN Major League Baseball analyst, joins this one on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Doug, Shohei Ohtani is going to be a free agent at the end of the year, and do you see him still being an Angel, a Los Angeles Angel, or will he be on the move and hopefully on the move up the road to the Los Angeles Dodgers?
Well, wherever he plays, they're just going to have to change the nickname of the team to Ohtani's. I mean, that's the first thing you have to do, besides the fact that you got to give him a bank, maybe like an entire country, because, I mean, that's what he's worth. And I think it's hard where someone who's as motivated as Shohei Ohtani, who wants to win, and it's a great honor to play with someone like Mike Trout, one of you know great players of our generation of all time. However, you know, they're out there to be successful, and in some ways the game is getting a little bit robbed that you're not seeing Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani center stage during the postseason year in, year out. I mean, these two are two of the great players. So his motivation, if you go back to when Ohtani signed, he had a list of all his goals in life, and it was by year down to like marriage and kids. He had it down. And he had all kinds of championships and MVPs, and he's done some of it. But this is someone that is trying to win, and he has total control over what he wants to do and where he wants to go. And you look right; it's natural to look right away to teams that have the money, like the Dodgers or the Mets.
Hey, Doug Glanville, before we let you go
he
quickly,
be in New York.
Before we let you go quickly, Mike Trout at age 20, 21, 22, had one of the, if not the greatest season in Major League history, age 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. At a certain point, you go, well, at what point is he just going to be considered the greatest player who ever lived? He's certainly been the greatest player of this era. But here comes Ohtani, and he can hit, maybe not like Trout, but he can really hit, and he can pitch at the top of the league, something no one's done since Babe Ruth. And then in the WBC, everyone got what they wanted to see. The championship on the line, one-run game, ninth inning, full count, Ohtani strikes Mike Trout out. It seems to me symbolically to be, if not actually, the taking, if not the passing of the torch Ohtani is now the best player in baseball. Do you see it that way or not? Is Ohtani the best player in baseball? Did he just take the crown from Mike Trout?
Ohtani, in many regards, had the crown. It's just how you define it. If I'm voting for most valuable player and you assign value to what you could put in one person, in one package, it's Shohei Ohtani. It's not even close. Because that, if you define it by someone that, by the way, could hit, he could DH, he could run. He's, by the way, one of the fastest players in the game, by the way. Let's just throw that in there. But he also can start and shut you down and then come in and close out the game. I mean, I'm just waiting for him to pitch to himself. So I think player standpoint, it's like that's what you're looking at. Now, how you define offensive value, I understand, like you said, Trout, better offensive career and so on. But when you talk about embodying one player, we have never seen anybody like this. And I mean, it's like almost in all sport. It's mind-blowing to think about facing Ohtani and knowing that this is the toughest guy I'm going to see. And then watch this guy hit balls 500 feet, 450 as a hitter, and then outrun me, which, by the way, I was one of the fastest runners of my time. It's ridiculous. So I just think it's when you say most valuable player or greatest player, and you embody it all in one person, Shohei Ohtani. It's not even close.
Doug Glanville, ladies and gentlemen, enjoy opening day. Doug, I know I will tune into baseball's opening day as the reigning champion Astros host the White Sox. Coverage begins tonight, 6:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and 7 p.m. on ESPN. Thanks.
All right, Doug. Dougie.
Thanks, guys.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, we're presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by one of the hosts of the hit new show, Fitz and Harry, here on ESPN Radio. It is Harry Douglas, ladies and gentlemen.
Sing it. See, Max will be singing none of the words.
So, Harry, there's been a lot of talk about your suit game. And the producers are very interested in knowing whether you have a starting five for your suits. How do you decide? You know, everyone gets that article of clothing. It's their favorite one. It's their go-to. But how do you decide what you're going to wear? How many suits you got in there? And do you have a starters and a bench and all that?
Because Key decides based upon what color his eyes are that day. You know what I mean? Some days it might be like a glossy green. So he, you know.
Hey, if Key has a glossy green eyes, I'm worried. I'm really worried. But no, I do have a starting five, and I have some benchers. You know what I mean? But I know what my number one and my number two are. Mm-hmm. I got this burgundy. It's like a brighter burgundy one, right? Every time I wear that suit, it turns heads no matter where I am, no matter what the circumstances are. That's my number one. To the point
where is this? Where is this one? Yeah.
This one's on my bench. This is coming from the bench.
Why did you wear the bench today?
I only have a few segments on First Take. It's not the full 2 hours.
Not the full show.
Yeah, so when I have the full show, that's when I'm going to wear something that's probably in my starting five.
Mm. Okay. See, I got the final four of suits, man. You know what I mean? Dude, I got the one
boo.
Seed. I got the one seed. I got the emerald green.
Okay.
The one seed. I got the brown on. The brown pops his skin differently. The brown on brown. You know what I mean? They ain't ready for it. Then I got the blue. I got my London swag.
See, I got a blue. Best. A blue is in my top five.
Okay.
It's like a royal blue.
Okay. Yeah, it's in my top five. It's a good color.
Yeah, you're going to be on the final four countdown, college basketball countdown, Jay. What's that...
I got the Royal Duke blue on the college game day this weekend.
But you 2 days, right?
Yeah, I'm Saturday and Monday. Okay.
So
championship game.
What's Emerald Sunday? Green. I mean, what's Saturday? What's Monday?
Oh, the one seed, baby. The one seed on championship day. There's no other seed.
The way that I do suits is the best dressed man at ESPN. The way that I do suits is very simple. If I'm in shape, like never get your suits tailored when you're in good shape. That's my advice to everyone.
You have
out
all
there.
Your ties.
No, you have at least one of them. Jay came and stole a tie out of my office. But like, I only have a couple suits that fit me right now because I stupidly got all my suits tailored when I was in great shape, and then now I'm not in great shape. So I get whatever my fat suits are, I'm in those right now, about two or three. And then when I wear the others, I got to leave the button unbuttoned. You know what I mean? So it depends on what shape
I have a few of those, too, now.
Huh?
I have a few of those where I got to leave the button unbuttoned.
Oh, really?
Key,
oh,
yeah. Do you wear
I have
suits,
like two
Key?
Like that.
Excuse me?
Do you wear suits?
It depends on what I'm doing, Jay. Yeah. If I'm not really a tie guy much anymore.
What pair of flip-flops? How do you decide which flip-flops you're going to wear that day?
Wait. Hey,
two
Max.
Flip-flops?
Max.
Yeah, of course. Here we go. Here
today.
We go.
You always got the toes out. Yeah. I know it.
But, it just depends on what I'm doing, Jay, to be honest with you. If I'm going to an event, a special event, I'm probably going to get that suit hooked up right before that event. Mm-hmm. If I'm doing NFL primetime and I know I got to be suited and booted, I'm probably going to come with something right. When I was a player, though, when I played and I, you know, had the 8-game road trip, because at home I never dressed, really didn't know. I didn't dress up at home. I was just normal. But on the road, getting off that plane, oh, yeah, we definitely had a different suit for every single road game. And, you know, it became a locker room competition.
Yeah.
You know, who was going to have what on? You know, and so I had a different suit for every road trip game.
You
for
had
sure.
Them Steve Harvey suits?
I transitioned out of it.
Alone, no, I'm talking about them jackets that come down to your kneecap.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But I transitioned out of it. I transitioned out of it, you know, as fashion was that. Look, man.
That was the thing back then, though. That was the thing back
Michael
in
Jordan
the day.
Jordan showing up in the you know.
Man, I had the freshest draft day suit ever in the history of the draft.
I have an XFL game on Saturday, and it's on ESPN. Down in Orlando, I got a nice one for that one.
Ooh.
Oh, nice. I text. No, no, that, you mean coming?
Hey, Pat, how do you choose your suits? Let's look at Pat in the control room for a second.
Well, this is my number one overall pick sweatshirt. It's pretty good. I own one suit and I've worn it like three times.
And how about you, Yates? How do you choose a Scully in the morning? Like, do you have certain ones that you break out?
You know, it's funny you say that. I have rules for mine. Like, if it's a certain temperature outside, mm-hmm. I can't wear this joint. If I do, I gotta go with butt of ears. But
what do you wear on Tuesdays?
Tuesdays and Thursdays.
What is it, Tuesdays? Because it always rains. What do you wear on Tuesdays?
Yeah, it's a
poncho.
A good question.
I got one of them, you know, I got a poncho in my car.
Poncho? I was going to say, got moccasins like, and a poncho.
Nothing wrong with being like I'm more like the Russell Simmons, man. I don't got
see,
a
lot
of suits.
See, I'm a suit guy.
Thanks for coming out. God bless. Good night. I keep it easy, man.
I would rather wear a suit more so than anything else.
By the way, suits are actually easier. It's easier. You just throw them on. You're good wherever you go.
No.
Hey, Harry, did you, in all seriousness, though, did you grow up in the church?
I did.
Yeah. Yep. Because you say you always wear suits. Typically, kids that grow up in churches, they suit game is right because every, you know, Sunday age. They was having on suits.
Our pops made us, me and my brother, we used to have to wear suits one day a week in school, in high school. Dress for success, that's what we had.
Yeah, so I ain't going to be able to put on my around shoes in high school, man.
Harry. And we do Dress for Success Wednesdays now, like on Fix It Harry.
I want you to know, I did not come up with this question. Alan Yates said, how many ways can you tie a tie?
Who, huh?
This is Alan Yates asking, not
down
me.
Down by the riverside.
Well.
Down by the riverside.
Well.
Down by the riverside.
We find out you got a clip on, Harry.
Well, so, Harry? So the reason why Harry? My jacket's buttoned right
what
now.
What happened was.
I
got a little short on today. That's why I'm buttoned up.
That, I mean, that tie says you're running numbers in the 1940s.
I got that short.
Hey, Harry.
Today,
Harry. Hey, Harry. I can't tie a tie.
I can't. So that's why I started seeing.
You know who used to tie my ties when I was a Jet?
Who?
Jeff Graham. Keenan McCardell tied my ties when I was in the Buck.
I don't know how to do it.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Greeny coming up. See you tomorrow at 6 a.m.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.